We turn in God's Word tonight to Matthew chapter 6. We'll read verses 19 through 34 of Matthew 6. There Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Thus far we read God's word. The text tonight is verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We began last week a short series looking at financial principles that Jesus teaches us in his ministry. And we looked at the verses 25 through 32 of Matthew chapter 6. What we saw last week, and I point out to you again tonight, is that Jesus teaches us to view our finances in the light of our relationship to God. This is what proper stewardship is. This is a proper financial principle for us to live by, that we must see our money, our possessions, all that we have on this earth in the light of our relationship with God. That's what governs our finances and what governs as well what Jesus teaches us concerning our finances. This is important for us. It's important that we have a right understanding from the Scriptures of what it means to live out proper stewardship in our lives, and that we live by good, sound, biblical financial principles. I say that because we can easily think in our own minds that we do live out of good, sound financial principles in our lives. I think sometimes in our own minds we equate being frugal, or what sometimes is called Dutch, with good stewardship. That we are not those who buy things at regular price, but we're always those who are looking for a bargain. That we cut coupons. That we only buy things that are on sale. before we're going to make a major purchase, we're going to make sure that we dicker with the one from whom we buy it to get it the cheapest that we can. I think sometimes we think that because we do those things, that that's good and right. But understand, I'm not saying tonight that those things are wrong. But what we have to look at is our motives in doing that. We can be frugal, we can be tight, we can be Dutch, as it were. But also that we can keep more to ourselves and buy maybe other things that we want. So that even in that we can be driven by a wrong desire. But God's Word, you see, does not say that that's what good, sound financial principles are all about. Because in those things, our motives can be wrong. Jesus, in His instruction, He focuses our attention on our hearts, what it is that we desire. We saw that last week as we looked at the relationship between faith and finances, where Jesus, in the earlier verses in Matthew 6, reminds us that we are not to worry about the things of this earth. What we eat, what we drink, what we put on. We're not to worry about those things, but instead, we are to trust in our God. Because He is the one who is able and willing to give to us those things that we need. In the text that we consider tonight, we begin to consider how we are to use the money that God has given to us. Jesus teaches us in the text what must be our priority in our finances, what must come first in our finances, and what must come first in our finances is the kingdom of God. For Jesus says here, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Now this stands related to everything that has gone before. This is the positive, if you will, of what Jesus was addressing somewhat negatively in the verses before. It's the positive of the verses before is to trust in God that He will provide. But Jesus goes beyond that and gives more instruction. He says to us who are prone to worry about the things of this earth and where the things that we need will come from, He says to us, as we worry about those things, don't worry about those things. But if there's something you're going to be worried about, or if there's something you're going to be concerned about, if there's something you're going to seek after, this is what you must seek after. Not the things of this earth. That's what the Gentiles do, He says in verse 32. But instead, as citizens of the kingdom, seek first His kingdom, God's kingdom, and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. The word that we consider tonight concerning financial priority, that's a word for all of us. It's a word for children and young people who are just beginning to make money. It's a word for us as parents and as adults in our homes. It's a word for the rich and for the poor. And it follows from that which we have considered already. It follows from this truth, because God has given to us all things, we must serve God with all the things that He has given to us. So tonight, I call your attention to this financial principle from Jesus, seeking first God's kingdom. We look first at this first pursuit. Secondly, we look at the financial lessons that we learn from this. And then finally, we look at the beautiful promise. I want to look first at the idea of the text and what Jesus is saying to us here in the text. Jesus says here that money, riches, even our daily necessities, these things must not be our first priority. But instead, as citizens of the kingdom of God, our top priority in all of life must be the kingdom of God. That must be first. That must be the focus of our lives. That's essentially what Jesus here is teaching in the text. to understand that, we must understand something about the kingdom of God. Jesus here is teaching us about the kingdom of God. We must look at what this kingdom is. But we don't look at the kingdom of God as if we're looking from the outside in on it. But let's consider tonight the kingdom of God from this viewpoint. The blessedness of belonging to that kingdom. This word of God is addressed to citizens of the kingdom. Jesus here speaks to you tonight as citizens of the kingdom and reminds us first and foremost what a blessing it is to belong to the kingdom of God. This is a kingdom about which you and I ought to be excited and have a great zeal in our lives because we are citizens of this kingdom. To help us understand that, maybe I can compare that tonight to living in the United States of America. Some of you, especially maybe who have traveled abroad and been in other countries, especially countries that may be somewhat oppressive in their governments. Or as you read of that and hear of that in other nations, then we understand what a great blessing it is to be part of the United States of America, to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy in this country compared to the freedoms that are taken away in many other countries. Well, if we enjoy our citizenship in this country, well, that's nothing compared to what we ought to enjoy and see as a great blessing in our citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. When you consider a kingdom, often a kingdom is known by its king and often also by its citizens. Well, the king of the kingdom to which we belong, of course, is our God. God is our king. Our king is Almighty God. He's the one who rules over this kingdom. He rules over this kingdom, of course, powerfully. He's a powerful ruler who controls everything. Not only does he control everything that happens within this kingdom, he controls everything that happens in the whole world. He is a God who powerfully rules over all. But when we consider God's rule in this kingdom, we understand that his rule is a rule also of grace. He rules over all things in his kingdom for the benefit of his people. And this kingdom then is found where God is known, where he is acknowledged as holy and sovereign and righteous. This kingdom is found where God is glorified and worshipped and honored by his people. This God, who is our king in this kingdom, is our sovereign savior and our sovereign protector. So that all things we have come from him. And we have the calling then to serve him in those things that he has given to us. We are citizens of his kingdom. We are citizens of his kingdom because of his sovereign grace. We know him as our king. We love him as our king because of what he has done for us. He has made us citizens of his kingdom through the powerful work of Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, giving us the right to citizenship in this kingdom. Not only that, but you find this kingdom, the territory, you might say, of this kingdom in our hearts. This kingdom has been established in our hearts. There you find the rule of Jesus Christ. He rules over his people. God rules over his people as he establishes dominion in their hearts so that we no longer live in the service of sin, but we live to serve our God. One other thing we should notice about this kingdom is that there is a rival kingdom to this kingdom. It's the kingdom of Satan. It's the kingdom of darkness. Now we understand and know that that rival kingdom is under the sovereign rule of our king and our God. And God uses that rival kingdom to serve his purposes and for the good of his kingdom. But it's important that we understand that because that's a struggle that you and I face, even in finances, because we have a desire in our sinful flesh, to yet follow in the ways of that rival kingdom. Because in that rival kingdom, in the end, there is no rule and there is no law. It's a kingdom based on this. You may do what you want, when you want. It's a kingdom that's made up of selfish people who love to do what they want to do. And we have that within us and we like to do that. But by the grace of God, we've been delivered from that kingdom of darkness. And we see tonight what a great blessing it is to belong to this kingdom of God. One other question that we ought to consider when we consider this kingdom is, where do we see this kingdom? Jesus plainly teaches us in John 18, verse 36, that this kingdom is not of this earth. This kingdom of God and the kingdom of Jesus Christ is a heavenly and a spiritual kingdom. That's evident from what we've just said. It's a kingdom that is established in our hearts. And what that means, too, is that this kingdom will not be fully realized here on this earth, as many would teach today. But this kingdom will be fully realized in the new heavens and the new earth. Yet, it's certainly true that we see this kingdom here on this earth. Although the fullness will not be here, we do see this kingdom presently on the earth. We see it right here. When this congregation meets, and as we have fellowship together, we see this kingdom of God wherever the church meets here on this earth. We see the kingdom in the church. We see the kingdom in our covenant homes, where covenant families live under the rule of God's grace in their hearts and in their lives. We see the kingdom then in our homes, in our Christian schools, in the church. And there is then within that kingdom the desire to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One other thing we must say about this kingdom very briefly is that the text says in regard to that kingdom and His righteousness, the seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is a kingdom characterized by righteousness. That means that only those who are righteous can be citizens of this kingdom. Only those who have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but what that means is that the glory of this kingdom is the righteousness of God Himself. The righteousness that is imputed to us from Jesus Christ. And that means as well that the citizens are called in their lives to live in righteousness before their King. Now, understanding that about the kingdom, Jesus comes to us and says about this glorious kingdom of which you and I are citizens, in which you and I see tonight the great blessing of being citizens of that kingdom. Jesus calls us to seek first this kingdom. Jesus speaks to us tonight as citizens and says, this must be top priority in your lives. Jesus is teaching us here how we live as citizens of His kingdom. That word seek carries the idea of seeking earnestly, seeking intensely, living for something is the idea. Jesus is saying here, this is what we as citizens of the kingdom must live for. We live for the kingdom of God. And in addition to that, Jesus adds this word. He says, this must be first. Above everything else, this must be of top priority. This is the governing principle of all of life for us as God's people. The point is that my relationship with God now, this relationship which is described here in kingdom language, this relationship that we have with God affects everything in life, so that I have no right to detach any part of my life from the understanding and from the knowledge that I am a citizen of this kingdom and that I am a friend servant of God. And because that's true, this is a guiding principle then for us in our finances. That comes out here in the context. Because as there's a contrast here in the text between the kingdom of God and between the enemy kingdom, we see what it is that the enemy kingdom seeks after. Now Jesus says, this is what we must seek after. In verse 32, Jesus, using that same word, seek, says this, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's speaking there of that enemy rival kingdom. In that enemy rival kingdom, this is what they seek after. They seek after things. They are constantly worried about life and the necessities of life and the things that they want. That is what they seek after. That's their priority. We know that from the world in which we live. That's priority. Getting as much of the things of this earth that they can get their hands on. It's a priority to have the newest car. It's a priority to have a bigger house. It's a priority to have a new recreational vehicle. It's a priority to have the big screen TV. It's a priority to have all of those things, on and on and on. But what Jesus says here is that for the child of God, for the citizen of the kingdom, these things are not priority. New car, bigger house, new RV, flat screen TV, on and on and on. That's not a priority for us. Not that having these things is wrong, but it's not a priority. It is for the world. The world works to fund their fun. The world serves mammon, as Jesus speaks of that in verse 24. And he warns us, you cannot serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. The world seeks after mammon. They want mammon. That's their God. But not for us as citizens of the kingdom. We seek after God and his kingdom. In this command, Jesus is not commanding us then to be citizens of the kingdom when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But he is commanding us how to behave as citizens. Understand what this means. This means when the kingdom is first, when it's priority in our lives, that we think about the kingdom and our relationship to God. This means we think about everlasting life, as Paul speaks of that in Colossians 3. Notice what he says there in Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Why is that? Because we're risen with Christ. We're alive in Christ. And because that's true, we seek those things above. Seeking the kingdom, that being a top priority, means we want our relationship to God, with God, to grow. That means we want the church to grow. We want the gospel to be preached. We want the children in our home and the children of the church to be reared in the fear of God. This means we have a heart for the preaching of the gospel and a heart for the mission work. This means we love the church and we love the members of the church. This means we want the children of the church to be taught and instructed in a good and a godly way. This means that we love the righteousness of this kingdom. When Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he is not saying, well, just so you have a time of worship in your home and a time of worship on Sunday at the top, then you may do whatever you please in the rest. That's not the idea. It's not that we have a long list of things we want to do, and just so you have at the top God, then you can follow everything else that you want as well. Well, the idea here is that this is top priority and it affects everything else that I do. And especially, this affects my finances. There are lessons that we learn from this word of Jesus Christ for our finances. And this is no stretch here in the text either. Jesus has that before us. finances, the things of this earth, the things of this earth, in fact, that we need. And the way in which we get these things is buying them with the money that God provides in the way of work. And we see here then that Jesus is teaching us in the text that as citizens of the kingdom of God, we have a radically different view of earthly things than the world does. We ought to. Do we? Do we have a radically different worldview, view of the things of this earth than the world in which we live? The world seeks after these things as an end. But for us, we seek the kingdom of God in our finances. With these finances, with what God gives, we must serve and honor Him. That's the idea here, and that's an idea that you find in other passages of Scripture as well. A similar one is what you read in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with thy substance, we read there. Now Jesus brings this word to us and he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus teaches us in this word that we must support with our finances the work of the church and the kingdom of God. And Jesus teaches us that this support must be first. That essentially is what Jesus teaches us in these words. Support the church, support the kingdom with our finances, and that this support must be first. We must support with our finances the work of the church. This is something that is found throughout the Scriptures. This takes us back even to the Old Testament, where this was made very clear to the people of Israel. As we read of that in Proverbs 3, it spoke there of first fruits. The people of Israel were called to bring the first fruits of their crops, the first fruits of their flocks. The first, the best, and bring it to the temple or bring it to the tabernacle. And God's people understood the purpose of that. First of all, it was for the worship of the church. They brought animals, the best of their animals, to sacrifice in the worship of God. But not only that, they also gave their livestock and their grain or loaves of bread so that those who led them in worship, the priests and the Levites, so that they would have something to eat so that they could be dedicated to their work. Remember that the Levites were not given a part of the land of Canaan. But instead, the people, when they came and offered sacrifice and brought animals for sacrifices, part of the meat of those sacrifices went to the priests and Levites. There were loaves of bread that were brought, and that was given to the priests and to the Levites, so that they did not have to be concerned with the things of this earth, and they could dedicate themselves to the work of the Lord in the tabernacle and the temple. And so the people were taught to bring their first fruits. Jesus teaches us here in the text as well, and in many other places in the New Testament, that the church must support the preaching of the gospel. Remember that we said that the kingdom of God, as we see it here on this earth, is found where the church meets. It's found in our covenant homes as well. And so what this means is that the church must support with its giving the preaching of the gospel. That is what we do. That's what we do every Sunday when collections are taken for the general fund. Concretely, we support the ministry of the gospel in our general fund giving. Remember what that money goes for. That money is given for the support of the preaching of the gospel here in this place. It goes for the maintenance of this building and the grounds here so that we have a building dedicated in a special way to the worship and service of God. As we meet here for worship, we meet here for Bible studies. As our children come here for catechism instruction as well. This is the money that's given as well for the support and care of the pastor, and in that way for the preaching of the gospel. But also, this is money that is given for synodical assessments. Part of what we give in our general fund giving goes to the denomination of our churches. This year, $923 of what every family gives goes to the denomination of our churches. That comes out to about $18 per week of our $45 budget. This is what goes towards the work of missions, the preaching of the gospel on the mission field. This is what goes to the support of our seminary so that men are trained for the ministry of the gospel. This is money that goes as well to emeritus ministers and to other churches in our denomination that need help with their own finances. And as we looked at a while ago when we considered the Eighth Commandment, we saw that this is an obligation for every one of the families within the church. Because we as a congregation approve a budget. The men of the congregation approve that budget. And in approving that budget, the men of the congregation are saying then that we as a congregation together agree to pay this amount for the support of the preaching of the gospel. And that's what that means as well, that the men of the congregation are saying for their homes, they're going to contribute that part for the support of the preaching of the gospel. But there are other things for which we give in the support of the preaching or in support of kingdom causes. We support kingdom causes and other collections that are taken in the collection for the benevolence and the care for the poor, care of the poor. There are collections as well that are taken for other needs within the churches. For example, we've taken collections for a long time for the Northern Ireland Building Fund to help them to build a building. We've taken collections as well to help other schools and to help our own schools. And that brings up another way in which we give for the causes of the kingdom. We give for the Christian education of our children. This falls under as well tuition. Parents paying their tuition. And understanding that, too, is important within the kingdom. Because in our covenant homes, as we see our covenant children, we see their citizens of the kingdom, and we want them to be instructed in a right way in our own Christian schools. So we pay that money gladly and willingly so our children are properly taught and instructed. And that's something we do as a congregation and the collections for our schools and the drives as well that there are for our schools. So that together, understanding the concept of the covenant, that the children not only belong to parents, but to the church. This gives opportunity for the entire church to give for this kingdom cause of the instruction of our children. Now, Jesus says concerning all these things that this must be first. Jesus says that this must be a priority. This must come first in our finances. And let me remind you again that our checkbook and the budgets that we make are a good indication of our priorities. The question tonight is this: what is our financial priority? Not priorities, priority. What is that priority? Is it self? Is it providing more for ourselves? Is it getting the things of this earth for ourselves? Or is it the kingdom of God? Jesus shows, again, that the right perspective is not that in our finances the priority is self and what we want. Jesus breaks that down. He destroys that thinking and he says, no, the financial priority for us must be the kingdom of God. And that means then in our finances, we must set aside for the Lord first. God's portion must be first in our finances. I can't stress that enough. That's the focus here. That's what Jesus is teaching. God's portion must be first in our finances. In a very practical way, this is what that means. When you're budgeting for a new year, when you're sitting down with your checkbook and you've just received a paycheck, and there are bills that you have to pay, and maybe that stack is pretty tall. What is it that comes first? What comes first, Jesus is saying here, is not groceries. It's not the house payment. It's not the car payment. It's not anything else on that stack of bills you might have. What comes first and must come first is the church. God's kingdom first, and then your own needs. The idea is not that in our finances, we figure out how much we're going to need for this, that, and the other thing. We pay all of our bills and we figure out what we need for groceries. And then after that, if there's something left over, then we write that check for the budget, or we write that check for the tuition, or we figure out what we're going to give in some of the other collections. Jesus says, kingdom first, before even your earthly necessities. There are many passages in Scripture that support that idea as well. Let me draw your attention tonight to what happened during the life of Elijah. Remember that prophet Elijah who came and prophesied the time of Ahab. And he said that there would be no rain in Israel, and then suddenly disappeared. And there was no rain. There was a great famine in the land. He went to the brook Cherith, and there God took care of him for a while until that brook dried up. And then God sent him to Zarephath. And remember who he met there, according to the will of God. That widow in Zarephath who was gathering a few sticks so that she could make a fire and so that she could use the last of what she had of flour and oil to make a loaf of bread for her and her son so that they could eat their last meal, and then there was nothing left. And Elijah came to her and he said, after you make that loaf of bread, if you make that cake, bring it to me. And she did. There's a principle there. Kingdom first. And we know what happened. The Lord took care of that widow's needs, even in that miraculous way. What that means for us is that no one here may use poverty as an excuse for not giving. I would dare say that there's no one here who is in such a position as that widow in Zarephath. That all you have is your last little bit of money. And that in your giving, you have to give that last little bit and then there would be nothing left over. No one here is in such a position. The Word of God says to us, whether we're rich or poor, no matter how much or how little we have, first, the kingdom. That's top priority in our giving. That's true also in regard for us as parents in the writing of checks for tuition for our children. This should be seen as something as a priority. Now I understand with other things and other bills and so on, maybe parents do have a difficult time paying their tuition. But parents should be looking to at least pay some, paying their tuition, because this is a kingdom cause. This is so important. Would it really be of us that we would rather keep from supporting those causes than not being able to pay a mortgage or struggling a little bit with groceries and all the rest? Would we really put that first? That ought not to be of those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. God says first. Now that is a matter of faith. And we'll come to that in the last point. We'll understand in that way, God will take care of our needs. But also we understand an important principle of this giving that's found in the Scriptures is that we must give proportionately. Not everyone gives the same amount in that giving to which we are called. Of course, when it comes to the budget, we all give the same amount.
were to give the same amount. But not everyone does in all of giving. But the scriptures say that we give as the Lord has blessed us. We find that, for example, in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That's also the idea that you find in Proverbs 3, what we read a few moments ago in verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord with thy substance, as the Lord has blessed, as the Lord has given. So honor the Lord with what he has given. And even in the scriptures, specifically, the word of God addresses the rich in that regard. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 and 18. There we read, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Paul speaks to Timothy here as a young pastor, and he says, in your ministry, in your work, bring this message too. Bring a word to the rich, that they not trust in their riches. We need to hear that too. Don't trust in the things of this earth. But instead, the idea is serve God with those things that God has given. And those to whom God has given much know that responsibility. There's a responsibility to use it in the service of God and of His kingdom. And this speaks then how it is that we are to give beyond the budget of the church. How we are to give in regard to benevolence and the school drives and the school collections and the other collections as well. We must give proportionately of that which God has blessed us with. The last point we should understand in regard to what Jesus speaks here in the text is that seeking the kingdom of God first in our finances is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Jesus speaks of that in verse 21 of Matthew 6 when he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Tonight, to this word of God, how do you respond in your heart? Do we try to make excuses for what we've done? Beloved, be assured of the fact, if this word of God steps on your toes, it steps on all our toes tonight. It steps on my toes. I look back at my financial decisions, and I know I've not lived by this principle that Jesus Christ sets before us tonight. We've all fallen short. We've been disobedient in this regard. We've fallen into the thinking of the world in which we live and seeking after the things of this earth. We must understand tonight that we must answer this to the living God. You don't have to answer to me or to anybody else. We do answer to God Himself. It's a serious matter. And I speak this to us tonight, including myself, not as some kind of arm twisting. It's always a little bit uncomfortable for a pastor to preach to a congregation on finances, especially on giving. Because, of course, his salary, my salary, is dependent upon that. But understand tonight, there's no arm twisting on my part. I'm well cared for by you as a congregation, and I'm thankful to God for that. It's not a matter tonight of raising more funds for the church because we're hurting as a church. We are not. It's not a matter of that. It's not a matter of doing like some churches may have done in the past, and maybe even do today, where they say, we've not brought in enough money yet, we're going to pass the collection plates again. Or they have all of these capital fundraising campaigns to bring in all kinds of money for all the programs they want to run and for the huge buildings they want to have as well. It's not about that. It's about this. It's about seeking the kingdom of God which is a matter of the heart. That's addressed in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 as well, which speaks to us of how we are to give, that we are to give willingly and cheerfully and joyfully. And the reason that we are to give willingly and cheerfully and joyfully is that this is the way we reflect in our own lives the knowledge of God's grace to us. In His grace and in His love, He has given. He has given something so great, we can't comprehend it. He gave His Son, and His Son came down to this earth and gave Himself for us. Right in the middle of two chapters on giving, in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, you have that brought out. And I pointed that out to you a while back, but I remind you of it again in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 8. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. In the middle of a chapter on giving, you have this a beautiful and amazing statement concerning the truth of the incarnation and the grace of Jesus Christ. Because this is what truly motivates giving. It's understanding the grace of God and what He's done and what He has given. And understanding that, the way in which we reflect that in our lives, or at least one of the ways, is in the way of our giving for the causes of the kingdom. And when this is the attitude of our hearts, that as citizens we love the kingdom and we want to serve the kingdom of God, this is going to affect everything else in our finances. This word of God tonight is not just about giving. It's for all of our finances. So that tonight we should be dedicated as we go home to regulating all of our finances, so that top priority in finances is seeking the kingdom of God first. In regulating our finances, budgeting in our finances is not just something for those who are poor or struggling to do. That's something that we all ought to be doing, because we have to answer to God for everything that we do with what He has given. And so this principle, seek ye first the kingdom of God, must regulate all of our purchases. Maybe not a bad idea to have that on our checks. To have that in our checkbooks. To remind ourselves of that in all of our finances. Am I with this seeking the kingdom of God? Or am I seeking myself? Am I honoring the Lord with my substance? Or am I honoring myself? This shows the importance of regulating all of our finances by this principle of priority. And in regulating our finances in this way, in seeking first the kingdom of God, there is a beautiful promise that comes to us in the text. And all these things shall be added unto you. Notice what the text does not say here. The text does not say, if you give, you will be rich. There's no health and wealth gospel here, which is, by the way, a false gospel. God does not promise you tonight, if you give, if you seek first the kingdom, He will bless you tenfold or a hundredfold, as some men promise today. God does not promise you riches if you give. The difficulty with that is that becomes a motive. That becomes a motive. We give because, well, we're going to be blessed. We're going to get a lot more. And that's why many give today. That must not be our motive in giving. That must not be our motive in supporting the causes of the kingdom, what we get out of it. Secondly, Jesus does not teach that if we have enough, then give. That's not what He says here.
If only
God would give us more than we give, we might say. Jesus doesn't say that. No, that's not what he's teaching here in the text. If only we had more than we could give. I point that out because that was the misunderstanding of God's people, especially after they returned from the captivity in Babylon. And that's addressed in two passages in the Old Testament. First of all, in Haggai, verses 5 and 6. Haggai was one of the prophets God sent to the people of Israel because they had turned away from rebuilding the temple. And Haggai was sent to set them on that right course again of rebuilding the temple. And he says to them in verse 5, "Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not clothed with drink. Or ye're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes." Sounds like our society. No matter how much they have, it's not enough. They have food, they have drink, it's not enough. They put their money, as it were, into bags with holes. It goes out as quickly as it comes in. Maybe that's happening with us and our finances too. And what the people of Israel were saying to God is, "God, we would give more if only you gave us more." They were saying essentially, "God, the problem is with what you've provided. It's not enough." And God says, no, in Haggai, and he says it again in Malachi, you've got it exactly backwards. Give, pay your tithes, bring your offerings, and I will provide for you. That's what he says as well in Malachi 3, verse 8. When he speaks there of their robbing of God, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." Then he says, "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." He says, your thinking's backwards. Giving, kingdom, first, and then I will supply your needs. That is the promise that God gives to us here in the text. That in the way of seeking his kingdom first in our finances, in the way of seeking his kingdom first in our lives, he will meet our needs. If you put self first, you will never have enough. You will not have enough, and you will not experience God's blessing either. But God says, in the way of seeking first the kingdom, this is the way in which he provides. That's where faith is connected to this. That's where this text is related to what has gone before. Trusting in God to supply. And now here's part of his way. His way is seeking the kingdom first. This priority in our giving, this priority in our finances. And he says, "And that way, I will provide for your needs." Don't look to yourselves to try to figure out the best way to supply your needs. Of course, there's work, and in that way, God supplies. But our finances, we seek first the kingdom, trusting in this wonderful promise of God. May God give us faith to believe this and to know this too. And the way of seeking first his kingdom, he will continue to provide for every one of our needs. What a word that we've had tonight. A word that ought to unify us as a church. Unify us even in our finances. A word that ought to unify in marriages. This is one of the two things married couples fight about the most. Money, the world says. And that can happen too when there are financial difficulties. But now, here's the word of God. May this bring us together in our zeal and our desire that in all things we would seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this word, and we desire to have our finances governed by the truth of that word. We pray, Father, that thou wilt use this word to build us up and strengthen us. And may we go forward in this night and in the coming days, seeking in all things first thy glorious kingdom of righteousness. We give thanks, Father, that we are citizens of that kingdom. Give us grace to live day by day as faithful citizens. Forgive our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. In His name do we pray. Amen.